So on this Sunday, the Sunday after the coming of the Holy Spirit, we celebrate all of the saints. This is our All Saints Day. And so on this Sunday, as we commemorate all the saints, I want to speak to you about artificial intelligence and true rationality. You might have heard of AI, you know, it kind of can't avoid it, and it's going to get even less avoidable in the not too distant future. You may already have seen Copilot showing up in your Windows taskbar and just begging there for you to use it. Apple is rolling out artificial intelligence in the next update of its iOS operating system for its phones and tablets. And all over the place, wherever you go, the kind of word on the street is, if you don't know how to use AI, your job will be replaced. You're going to be left behind. Now, I'm not here to denounce AI. It's admittedly, it's the fastest growing tech rollout in human history. Of course, you could kind of say that about most of the major, hey, this is the next great hype train to jump on, but that have happened in tech. But I think it's helpful and actually kind of important for us to understand what it is and how it works, given that it's going to be everywhere in our society, and also because I think there are some spiritual implications for us. Again, I'm not opposed to this, but I think it's one of the things that we'll see with AI as it rolls out is it's presented to us as an intelligent individual, as your best buddy, your co-pilot, the one who's going to come alongside you and do most of your work for you so that you can just like relax and just, you know, your new job is really just to create prompts. And to prompt the AI for this or that or the other thing. And it'll just like bring you your drinks and it will make your spreadsheets better and it'll just make your life so much easier. This is like pretty literally, I'm boosting it just slightly to push it over the top, but this is pretty literally the sales pitch. So what is it? Essentially, I think the best summary of it that I've heard, two-word summary, is it's a stochastic parrot. Stochastic is one of those weird words that I didn't know before I heard it. I was like, oh, yeah, I've heard that before, but what the heck does it mean? It just means randomness falling after a pattern. So, for example, if you roll one die, that's kind of purely random, right? You get a one or two or a five or a six, right? Or four, three or four. If you roll two, you're actually going to get the pattern of randomness is actually going to be unevenly distributed because you're going to be more likely to get a seven because you have more combinations that can make seven than you are to get a two or a 12 because there's only two combinations that can make two or 12. It's a very rough breakdown, but that's kind of what stochastic means. And so it's stochastic. It's random in that it generates patterns. You're playing with loaded dice, so to speak, that will then generate words for you. And where do those words come from? Well, they basically come from the internet. When they were training this particular generation of AI, and I should note there are multiple different forms of AI. This is just the one that's kind of sweeping the world right now. This large language learning model AI. Sometimes called GPT, this model of AI is basically trained on the bulk of the internet. So, you know, the internet's great and terrible. And so basically what they did is they have all this wonderful language patterns and they feed it into the computer. The computer analyzes those patterns, makes a whole bunch of tables in its, and then accesses those tables semi-randomly based on whatever words you feed it to say, if I take this bits of meaning and this bit of meaning and this bit of meaning, which none of which it understands, and string it together, because this is like the most likely thing that would follow after what you've typed, then maybe my user will be happy. Okay, I'm anthropomorphizing. It's a computer. It's just basically a bunch of random lookup tables. But what comes out is actually generally pretty impressive now, because what it's doing is it's repeating to us the patterns that we have already produced out there on the internet. All the good patterns, all the bad patterns, all the patterns in between. And they try to weight the patterns so that the good patterns are more likely to come up than the bad patterns. But that's essentially what it is, which can be helpful. I mean, if you've ever done any brainstorming, you know, what are you supposed to do when you're brainstorming, right? You're supposed to just write down whatever ideas come into your head, however crazy they are. And then you go back and you filter and you say, oh, that was actually a pretty good idea. And this one was really stupid. Okay, well, we're going to throw that one out. So in that sense, if it's kind of doing that semi-randomly for you, it can be kind of helpful. It's interesting also to look at how the ancients understood randomness. And I don't want to get too deep in here, but it seems like the ancients actually understood randomness as, on some level, accessing the spirit world. There's suggestions that the when they consulted the Urim and the Thummim, it was something like casting lots. And it was a kind of semi-random thing. And you would do that in the context of the temple, God, understanding and hoping that God will then use this randomness to tell you something. And we see this even in the New Testament, whether or not that was how the Urim and the Thummim were used, the apostles actually used casting lots to select Judas's successor. Interestingly, he doesn't show up much after that, and Paul actually seems to almost replace him. So I don't know whether that means that God was telling them, no, not going to work that way anymore. Just like here, my spirit's going to work through you. But anyhow, it might be worth considering, I mean, I think it's a good idea anyhow, but it might be worth considering that anytime you sit down at your computer to do something, just make the sign of the cross, maybe over the computer, and you know, invite God to be your co-pilot rather than, or maybe to direct your co-pilot rather than the pure randomness of the AI. Just a suggestion. Anyhow, what does this all have to do with the saints? I mean, I'm talking to you here now on All Saints Day. I think it's really fascinating to see this artificial intelligence that we have created, kind of a sort of after our own image, being offered up as, you know, really potentially the next great world leader. If you think about it, like the hope is once we get to AGI, artificial general intelligence, then we can just kind of hand over, you know, control to that, and it will do a better job of making decisions than we will. Good luck with that. But or maybe God bless and keep us safe from that. But you know, it's when you look at how well people do, they have a point. Look at our leaders and, well, you know, maybe semi-random patterns could do a better job of than some of our leaders. Or maybe they are doing the job. Who knows? But again, so it's fascinating that this is kind of part of the proposed endgame. And others, of course, are warning us about this. The AI apocalypse is coming. It's going to destroy us. You know, and we've had lots of apocalypses that have come and sometimes go, you know, climate change, global thermonuclear war, and overpopulation, and whatever else. You just go back through human history. There's always a crisis that's going to destroy the world. And, you know, one day, it will. But that's actually, in some respects, the day we're looking forward to, because that's the day when God's going to come in and say, you know what, you guys just have made a mess of everything. I'm going to fix it for you. And that's really what we're hoping and praying for. Anyhow, again, this is what's all this got to do with the saints? Well, one of the things that we see in the New Testament as a kind of capstone of the old, or maybe a fulfillment of the old, is, as I said last Sunday at Pentecost, this coming of the Holy Spirit upon the whole of the people of God. And we noted that in the Old Testament, the coming of the Holy Spirit was generally upon the leaders. They understood that the king was the one who was anointed by God, and that anointing, that chrismation of the king, so to speak, was what gave him the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it was the Holy Spirit, when he was paying attention to the Holy Spirit of God, often the kings weren't, that enabled him to govern the people wisely and well. When the Moses picked the elders of the people and the Holy Spirit came upon them, we remembered that that Joshua saw two of them prophesying in the camp, Eldad and Medad, and said, "Hey, should I go out and stop them?" And Moses' response was, "No, it would be great if God's Spirit came upon all the people." But why was it coming upon those people in particular? It was because those were the people who were selected to be the judges of the people, the ones who ruled over the people. And they needed the Spirit of God in order to help them to judge rightly and wisely and well. And so God sent his Spirit upon them, similarly with his priests. So we have these kings, these priests, these judges who receive the Holy Spirit of God. And then what happens? Well, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God is poured out upon all of the people of God who recognize Christ as the Messiah. Every single one of us here today, as a baptized Orthodox Christian, has the Spirit of God. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't, doesn't necessarily mean that we're all going to be, King Josiah or King Hezekiah. We might be more like David, or God forbid, even Saul, right? The fact that we have the Holy Spirit of God doesn't necessarily guarantee that we're going to pay attention to the Spirit of God. Kind of just like, having Copilot in your taskbar doesn't mean you necessarily have to use it. But you can. It's there. We can access the Spirit of God. We can be these judges. And that's precisely what we see here in Jesus' promise to his disciples. When Peter says, "Hey, wait, we left all and followed you. What's in it for us? What then will we have?" Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, in the new age, when the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." What's going on here? Again, it's this fulfillment of the prophecy. Jesus also says at another point that he quotes the Psalms, and he says, "Have I not called you gods? Have I not said you are gods?" What's he quoting? He's quoting Psalm 82, where it talks about the judges of Israel. And it likens the judges of Israel to gods. Because with the Spirit of God, we have been given the ability to discern right from wrong, true from false, good from evil. And that is our job. That is what is given to us as our heavenly reward. But one of the things to keep in mind as well, and which I think is a valuable contrast to the promise of AI, is that this life that we're called to is not easy. The idea behind AI is it's going to make your life easier. It's going to make your work easier. You won't have to think so hard. You can just like relax, and it took hours before will take minutes now. And sometimes that's true, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. But how does Jesus talk about this before he gets to the reward part? He says, "Do not think I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household." This is immediately preceding the bit that we just heard. "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." This is in stark contrast to the way of life that is offered to us by AI. You want something? Just tell the AI and it will make it for you. It will fill your life with whatever you want. Semi-randomly, parroting us. This is not what Christ calls us to. He calls us to take up our cross and follow him. He says this is going to be hard. He says even those who love you will not understand this. But that doesn't change what is our responsibility before God. What is our responsibility as ones called to be saints? Because as we celebrate all of the saints who have gone before us, and we look at their lives, there's a reason I'm wearing red today. Most of them were martyrs. And those who were not martyrs were living martyrs, were witnesses by their self-sacrificial love for all of those around them to the resurrection life of Christ in the face of death and misunderstanding and anger and destruction. Their response was to love, exactly as we see Christ doing on the cross. "Father," he prays, "forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That's our job, to love those who hate us, to pray for those who persecute us, to do good to those who despitefully use us. Because, let's face it, our desires are kind of messed up. If we really could get everything that we desire, that just might not be good for us. We're not that far from children who just want to eat chocolate 24/7. But there is a way to be like God. We are to be what we are called to be, to achieve theosis. And that is to take up our cross daily, to deny ourselves, to look at those desires and say, and judge rightly by the Spirit of God and say, "This one, not so good, not going to go and do that. This one, oh, that's hard, but that's what I should do." And if we do this in love, we are children of God. We are being inspired by the Spirit of God. We are doing the work of our Father in heaven. This is true rationality. The ability to actually truly discern right from wrong. The ability to judge rightly and justly. And as we do this, we are sons and heirs of the Most High God. And we, by our lives, by exercising our own intelligence, made in the image of the Logos himself, we become children of God, giving glory to God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages.